from KMXT in Kodiak. This is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, looking back, Southeast had the most valuable salmon catch this summer, and we look ahead to next year's forecast there and in Bristol Bay. Also, the halibut charter industry did not go over its quota this year. Those stories, plus Vietnamese fishermen make Somali pirates walk the plank after retaking their boat. I'm not kidding. Coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
For the first time since the halibut charter guideline harvest level was implemented 7 years ago, the Southeast charter fleet has stayed within their allocation. That according to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. In a letter to the International Pacific Halibut Commission, Fish and Game reported a preliminary estimate for the 2011 charter catch in Southeast of 390,000 pounds, or half of the 790,000 pound allocation. The cumulative overage for the charter fleet in the area is 3.4 million pounds since 2004. This year, the IPHC set a 37-inch maximum size for the charter-caught halibut in Southeast in a decisive move to control the chronic over-harvest from that sector. Despite the fewer pounds, the number of fish caught in the charter sector was higher than the number caught in 2010. And angler interest in the Southeast sport fishing experience has remained steady despite the changes in management measures and the overall economy. The biomass of halibut in the Southeast area has dropped in half over the past 6 years. To conserve the stocks, the commercial catch has been reduced by 76%. Last summer's statewide salmon harvest currently ranks as the third most valuable since 1975 and could possibly end up as number two when all is said and done. That's according to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, which put the estimated value of this year's statewide catch at $603 million. That's behind the 1988 and 2010 harvest values for now, but Commercial Fisheries Division Assistant Director Jaron Bruce expects that will change when the final numbers are all available.
We expect that once we get the final price information in from processors and buyers, and we'll get that next spring, that it'll actually become the second highest.
While harvest volume varied from area to area and species to species, prices were strong throughout the state, particularly for pinks and chum salmon. In Southeast, for instance, pinks averaged 42 cents a pound and chum 81 cents. Bruce looks at this year's good prices as the continuation of an upward trend over the past decade. He attributes the increasing value to several factors.
I think that the recognition in the marketplace that Alaska's commercial salmon fisheries are sustainable, that it's a wild natural food, and also the collapse of the Chilean salmon farming industry due to a virus a few years ago played a part as well.
Southeast Alaska's combination of big harvests and high prices produced the most valuable salmon harvest for any region in 2011. The Southeast catch is estimated to be worth $203 million, nearly half of which was from a big pink salmon harvest of $59 million. Bristol Bay is usually the most valuable fishery in the state, but catches fell short of projections this summer, and it had the second highest value as a region at $137 million. Prince William Sound had the third most valuable catch at an estimated $101 million. Looking to next year, Southeast Commercial Purse Seine Fleet might have a weak pink salmon harvest. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is forecasting a harvest of 17 million pinks region-wide, under one-third of the 59 million caught by the fishing fleet this summer. Andy Piston, the department's pink and chum salmon project leader for Southeast, says the catch would be below the long-term average.
Well, it's well below the recent 10-year average harvest, of which has been about 40 million pink salmon over the last decade. But we have had some low even-year returns, and it's about equal to the average harvest over the past three even years. Starting in 2006, we had a kind of a surprisingly poor return of pink salmon. And in 2008 and 2010, our overall harvest did increase a little bit, but we have seen that even year cycle down a bit in recent years.
Pink salmon returned to spawn in two-year cycles, and the recent trend has been large returns in odd years and smaller return in even years. Piston explains the 2012 return may not keep pace with the harvest of around 24 million from 2010.
When we're doing our forecast, we start out with just a simple forecast based on the trend in harvest, and just that forecast is for about 23 million harvest. But then we adjust that forecast using data we get from NOAA Okbe Lab. They do some trawl surveys in Upper Chatham and Icy Strait, and those catches of juvenile salmon leaving inside waters were very low. It was the second lowest index of abundance they have over the last 14 or 15 years. And so using that information, that reduced our forecast considerably.
The 2010 parent year pinks had weak returns in northern southeast in the same areas where federal trawl surveys of juvenile fish occur. Federal scientists from Auk Bay released their own pink forecast later this fall at a Purse Seine Task Force meeting December 7th in Sitka. We'll hear the forecast for Bristol Bay right after this.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The first of two forecasts for next year's sockeye salmon run to Bristol Bay has been released, and it anticipates that next year's run will be similar to this year's. KDLG's Mike Mason has details.
The two entities that try to forecast the sockeye run to Bristol Bay each year are the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and the University of Washington's Fisheries Research Institute. FRI is predicting that next year's run of sockeye will total 31.86 million fish. FRI's Chris Boatwright says the forecast has a margin of error of between 8 to 17%.
It hasn't always stayed within that range, but that's typically for total number. That is typically the range. Now, you have, by river system, it gets a little bit more difficult because for some of the river systems that have much smaller returns, like Togiak, the range of returns can be, say, 200,000 to 1.2 million, it's much easier to get a much higher margin of error or percentage error from the actual return. But in typically, the overall returns roughly about 15% from the actual returns.
The new 2012 forecast from FRI predicts that commercial fishermen will haul in 22.15 million sockeye with an estimated weight of 126 million pounds. In the narrative that was released with the forecast, the Fisheries Research Institute notes that this year's forecast of 31.8 million sockeye is in line with the long-term average of 31.4 million sockeye recorded between 1960 through 2011. However, it should be noted that the forecast of 31.8 million sockeye is well below the 30-year average total run for Bristol Bay of 37.7 million sockeye. In the 2012 forecast, the Fisheries Research Institute is predicting that 57% of the sockeye run will be two ocean fish, resulting in a small relative drop in the pounds harvested per fish.
So therefore, the models will tend to be down this year in their forecast of three ocean fish, because you would generally forecast three ocean fish from the previous year's two ocean fish by age group and by river system.
The commercial fishing district with the largest expected sockeye run, according to the new FRI forecast, is the Naknek-Quijack District, with a total sockeye run of 15.2 million fish. If you figure in escapement of 5.7 million sockeye, that puts the estimated potential commercial harvest in the district at 9.4 million fish. The forecast for the Igigik District is a total sockeye run of 6.7 million fish, which when you subtract 1.1 million sockeye for escapement, that puts the potential commercial harvest at 5.6 million. Boatwright says it's currently unknown why the sockeye run to the Igigik District has fallen off the past couple of years.
We do not currently have research that would directly address what's going on in Igigik. The 2-2 and the 2-3 groups there certainly in recent times have been very difficult to forecast.
In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.
Pollock bee season closed last week, and now the final harvest numbers are out. Over 1.16 million metric tons of pollock were caught in the Bering Sea this year. That's enough to make more than 3 billion boxes of fish sticks. But even though that sounds like a lot of fish, this wasn't the greatest year for the pollock fleet. Many boats were fishing right up to the season's end in hopes of catching their quota, and some vessels gave up on the prospect altogether. According to Josh Keaton with the National Marine Fisheries Service, that makes this an unusual year.
In the normal year, the pollock fishery harvests their entire quota. This year, due to reasons unknown, the pollock fishery was unable to harvest their entire pollock quota and left about 63,000 metric tons.
This year, fishermen were allowed to catch 1.23 million metric tons of pollock, a big boost over the past few years' level. They ended up harvesting about 95% of that. Keaton says that the amount of pollock in the Bering Sea has gone up, but
they just weren't as concentrated as they normally were. It takes a lot longer to tow to get the same amount of pollock than in a normal year.
Meanwhile, a slow pollock season could be good news for other fisheries. Keaton says that if the pollock quota goes down, then fisheries like Pacific cod and rockfish could get a boost.
With pollock tech not being completely taken, I believe that gives other gear groups, other fishery sectors, an ability to get more quota if they can show that they can use it.
Next week, scientists will be meeting in Seattle to discuss next year's harvest levels.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company, and by the Pebble Partnership, listening before we act. Find out more at pebblepartnership.com.
Coast Guard says it received no calls from vessels seeking help in the Bering Sea because of the huge storm out there this week. Fishing seasons in the Bering Sea are currently in a lull. The Coast Guard says it assisted a 143-foot fishing boat with engine problems north of the Aleutian Islands. Petty Officer First Class Sarah Francis in Kodiak says the Rebecca Irene's troubles were unrelated to the storm. The vessel lost one of its main engines. The cutter Sherman took 20 of the vessel's 34 crewmen off the boat as a safety measure. Taiwan is hailing the bravery of five Vietnamese war veterans who launched a surprise attack on six armed Somali pirates and successfully took back their fishing boat after it was hijacked off East Africa. The Johannesburg Times reports the men had been recruited by Taiwan to be part of the 28-man crew on the Chin Yi Wen, a 290-ton vessel, along with nine Chinese, eight Filipinos, and six Indonesians. After retaking their ship, the crew of the Chin Yi Wen forced the six pirates to walk the plank. The paper says they were likely picked up by a small boat operated by the same Somali pirates group. At least 47 foreign vessels and more than 500 sailors, many of them fishermen, are being held by pirates, according to Eco Terra International, which monitors maritime activity in the region. Here's another serious note. Mustang Survival is recalling certain models of their inflatable personal flotation devices because they may not fully inflate. In an announcement on their website, Mustang Survival says it has developed a solution that corrects the affected product and prevents its reoccurrence. The recall affects two models of inflatable PFD and only those without a membrane inflatable technology or MIT stamp on them. It's a little technical, so check the MustangSurvival.com website for details on how to identify the affected PFDs. If your PFD is one of them, you'll need to send it back to the company, as the inspection and repair can only be performed at a Mustang Survival factory. The Alaska Fisheries Report received quite the honor last week at the Alaska Broadcasters Association Awards Dinner. It won the Best Radio Program Goldie Award for stations outside the big city. Of course, the award belongs to all the reporters in Alaska, Washington State, and Washington, D.C., who contribute to the show every week. Without them, it'd just be 15 minutes of me talking, and nobody wants to see that. So thanks.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
And that's all for this edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help this week from KFSK's Matt Lichtenstein and Joe Vicknicki in Petersburg, KDLG's Mike Mason in Dillingham, and KUCB's Alexandra Gutierrez in Unalaska. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.